interesting things going on. You don't have to go back to the 50s.
Can you turn the tape?
Does everyone here listen to Art Bell's Dream Man tonight from 7 till 10?
It does.
Some in this valley up against the hills can't get radio reception. Isn't it a wonderful technological adventure just to stay alive?
If it ain't country, we don't get it.
That's about the size of it. You and Buck Owens. It's all right. Buck Owens is a fine person, too. And I wonder how many of you in this room know that you have a generator parked out at that farm that came directly from Buck Owens. You see? A lot goes on, precious ones. Did you get him to autograph it? Down with Charles. We'll vote him out.
You know, maybe the group here can help me find the Buck Owens song that I sing the first verse of. And if you have it, I'll gladly pay for a copy.
Well, let's hear you sing the first verse and we'll tell you.
I got the hungries for your love, and I'm waiting in your welfare line.
All right, everybody hold that in your mind. On your tongue.
Tune in three notes.
And go ask Buck Owens for it. All of you go over to Costco. He's right around the corner there, down the boulevard.
Commander?
Yes?
This is off the subject, but what is the significance of the craft parked on the tip of the Orion constellation? Is that your craft? Parked?
That's what I call it. We don't park much. The very large craft is the Phoenix. And that's the one that they want to call everything from Venus to Sirius to whatever. The one at the tip of Orion's, quote, belt, the busy one, the one that strobes so much of the time.
Right.
That is not my craft. That's one of our crafts. And it's a very, very strong sign. That's a pivot point.
What is the significance, I mean, as far as the message to viewers?
Oh, I don't know that there's any significance or messages to viewers. We're just in your skies. That's all there is to it. And that is the message, if anything is.
That's the brightest thing in the sky, that's for sure.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
It is.
And if you watch it long enough, it will move right toward you.
Thank you.
It's an amazing miracle. It's absolutely nothing but physics. Very large. In your perception, very far away. In actuality, very close. These are the things that as we evolve a little further and get a little more knowledgeable, that will be totally and thoroughly known to you. And how to get there. And I'm not talking about abductions. Most of you in this room, I have to realize that there are a couple or three that have not, but most of you have been on board. And I hear you. Well, let us remember. Well, one day we'll just have a big memory session. You have a job. We can't do all of our teaching in this environment. There are times when we must be busy. There is a time coming when you must function in both a fourth and fifth dimensional circumstance as well as connected to the third. So let's talk about that a minute. We've got some new people.
Commander, before you go on, could you please tell me how many craft could you see with the naked eye in an evening when it's clear?
Hundreds. Hundreds. Oh, hundreds. If you will, specifically.
Commander, would you please repeat the question?
She asked how many could you count on a clear evening, for instance, of craft. There are many that will, for various and sundry reasons, and it's a signaling circumstance. It's navigation. You see, well, now we get into the funny stuff that people cannot believe. You got to go giggle about it. In this area, for instance, is a major crystal formation that is there for the specific purpose of navigation. In this corner, if you will, of your galaxy. That's why the area is important. It was very, very well known amongst all the Aboriginal people. It was called the Four Corners, where east, west, north, and south met. Well, that was because of the radiation of frequencies that literally structured the first cosmic grid system. Now you have overshadowed much of the Earth grid system that was in place with your HARP and Gwyn and some of these outrageous man-made systems that can interfere. You will find that craft, our craft, for instance, in physical form, our shuttlecraft, etc., are a product of fusion of some of these non-substances that are so lightweight that in their molecular form you have no weight. You have minus weight. So if you had nothing else going for you except a craft made of this, literally fabricated of this, and you let it go, it not only would go on up into the outer atmosphere and stratosphere, it would go right on into the nothingness of space because you have less than density and weight. And the farther away it would get, the more dispersed it would get, and therefore it would become invisible anyway. Now, I'm not going to go into all of that because the attraction or getting into your space and becoming stable requires so much more than just going. And you reach your navigational points by thought projection and reassemblage at that point, wherever you wish to be. And this is more important for your, quote, shuttle vehicles. You're not going to move the Phoenix inland, for instance. It's bigger than your planet. But the mothership alone is a little over 900 feet in diameter. So you're talking still a pretty large, bothersome craft to be in your neighborhood. But it's manageable. So when we talk of these things in the cosmic arena, the cosmic universal orderly arrangement of planets, stars, what do you call them, quasars, wormholes, you name it, you do name it because we don't. A lot of things are by number. You often will ask me, what is the big M, as Al did once, or the big W? Well, in retrospect and in viewing it from your vantage point, it was Cassiopeia. From out where we live, there isn't any such thing. And by pure depth differences, you can't align them. So everything that would have meaning to you has not the same meaning to anyone offshore. And we do call it offshore. Because at this particular point, you are a major interest, at least to our people. Your connection truly is Pleiades. Some of the bad boys did march over here from Orion. That's a fact. Doesn't mean that all of Orion's bad. I mean, is all of the solar system of Earth bad? You don't even know what's on those other planets. And yet you can look at them. You can look at Mars and you can see riverbeds. Something was there. What would make a riverbed? Got to be. And is it real or false? You also had a lot of things coming out of your, quote, moon nonsense. There are already bases there. And you weren't welcome. And let's not talk funny men. And they're cosmospheres out there with more superiority of just pure political military force and power than anything you've got going on your globe. So when the disruption comes, it will be magnificent in size. And I don't mean magnificence in goody-goody. I mean magnificent in its perspective. And then when you start having those kinds of forces striking anything, you're going to have a response. And in the sense of a balanced, orbiting, spinning, gyroscopic thing that can be stopped by pure force, you're going to have changes. You're going to have axial changes. You're going to have magnetic changes. And these are the things that we must enlighten you about to the extent that you have some opportunity to heal yourselves a little bit, get a little bit better in line so that you have some choices. We're our working community. And I'm not talking about you. You're going to have to look out there beyond the horizon and into the heavens. And those myths become meaningful. You have to look at the myths. And then you have to decipher what that might have meant. And the only reason that you can trust the myths of the oral tradition is because, you see, they were handed down in story form. You've got to sort what is real versus animal, let us say. And the big bear climbed the big mountain and went off into Pleiades, the seven sisters. And you will have the seven ears of corn and the harvest dances and these sorts of things that the Indians then put animal faces to, the great bear, the great wolf, whatever. Those have meaning, but it does not change the historic truth of the evolvement of the races of man. You did not just evolve out of the cotton-picking sea. Which sea would you evolve from? The one where Pan is, the one where Atlantis is, the one where Mu is? You've got to look all the way back at your ancestors, the Anunnaki. They didn't just happen by and bump you. They did bump you. And you're lopsided. You're already lopsided. Well, you were lopsided then, worse.
I can't win.
No, you won. You won a big one with ATP, my friend. There wasn't another person in this room who had any idea, possibly Ed Young. You're all right, John. You just hang in there.
I'll have to give you some stuff on airplanes.
One of these days. This man was an inspector. Lockheed, he spent a lot of time just getting away from those little back bastards, didn't you, son?
Right.
Yeah. You see, we all just have surprising backgrounds, don't we? It's okay. We really do. We're a conglomeration of entities. And we always wonder, why did this happen to me? What do I have to do? What is my purpose? Well, sometimes you just have to wait for it to unfold. Diane, always, the enigma of relationships. Dorma, EJ, the enigma of relationships. And suddenly, out of nowhere, comes the reason for a relationship. It had nothing to do with anything, except that it had to be to get to here and beyond. Had to be. Part of the puzzle piece that you had to experience to get to here and let us get beyond. and you'll have each one of you sharing your little why me episodes. And then you'll find yourself, well, yours is worse than mine, so I can back off a little bit. Well, maybe mine's worse, but I'll let you think yours is. That's usually, you know, what happens. And then suddenly, oh, my God, I'm glad I don't have that cross to bear. We each have our own responsible place. And if we quit short of our goal, that's exactly what we've done. We've quit for whatever pressured reasons might come. And I'm glad that Zita's here now before I did leave, because I wanted to encourage her a little bit. You see, you always perceive that I'm getting sicker. And I talk a little bit about ones telling you it's gone into your brain and, oh, my goodness, what happens then? Well, number one, if it gets bad enough, sweetheart, you won't care. You see, you will already have your ecstasy pill. Let's not buy into this. Any time that you have an abrupt interference with a disease process, and I'm talking about abrupt, you're going to have all sorts of symptoms, and one of them is seizure. So I'm not interested in what may or may not be going on in the brain as far as tumor spread. I am ecstatic that you had seizures.
Well, I was awake last night about 3 o'clock, and I picked up a lot of this stuff. And I decided I'd better shut up and go listen.
Thank you. I don't want my speech spoiled. And there's no promise as to how any of this works out. It'll work out basically as you choose it to work out. But you will get response. And this is why some of the ones who have helped will understand this, and they will give you sympathy, and they will give you love, and they will give you help. But they are not as concerned as are you. And I think it would be better if everyone could understand these processes better, because it is the terror and the fear overshadowed totally by pain. Pain will do it. Pain will cause you to want just to escape. That is the one known factor of human. You will move away from pain. And if they can get you to move all the way away, how much better for their team? And that's one more loss for God's team, you see. So let's just not let it happen. Let's not be so quick to judge everything that appears negative in a negative light. There are some other things now we will integrate here, Zita, and we'll test them on you, sweetheart. You're a good sport, and they won't hurt. So that's good. And I'm going to make this announcement to you too now, Zita, because you know that Dorma has been accused of all sorts of things lately. And on this new austerity kick, the flowers she did not get sent to you when you came home, she has replaced, and that bouquet is yours. And she has a card here, and she has equated life to being, rather than a box of chocolates, life is like a bunch of iris. You cannot tell what you have until they bloom. And you will bloom, Zita. Don't give up. Just don't give up. And it is allowing Rick to write some magnificently important material to share with others who must go through these things. We cannot test these things unless there's someone willing to use them. Does anyone else want to say anything?
You so talked about the Phoenix with Osiris. Is that where your favorite place to park?
Well, it's not my favorite place to park. That's where I can be in the evening. And then the moment that we have passed beyond your visible horizon, we will transfer and come up in other end of the... We come up in the east.
I was curious at the time when Emmanuel was walking on the earth. What incarnation did I have?
That's for me to know and you to find out.
He's got lots of secrets.
It's none of our business.
It's none of your business.
Mother Matt, or Madeline.
Now, I knew that answer.
I knew you knew.
It's a piercing request.
Thought he'd ask anyway.
There is never, never a cessation in this particular gathering of ones not trying. Constantly.
My name's Carol, and Anne and I have come up from Canada to visit, and we really enjoyed it. We just love meeting everybody because we've been listening to you on tape for so long. And we feel so privileged to get the information that we receive every week, and the tape is just... It's just wonderful when we get it. We get together, there's just a handful of us, and we get together every couple of weeks. And just wanted to know really how much you are really appreciated.
We appreciate your sharing that with us. I know the group. There are a lot of things taking place. I have often been asked, why don't we cover more regarding Canada? We cannot cover here without covering Canada. And for you ones who met our friends before, I will leave them unnamed. They will be coming. They will be coming just as soon as the children are free from school.
One of the questions that's often asked is, we feel so isolated up there, and is there any, you know, everybody says, well, what can we do? How can we help? Sometimes it's just really frustrating.
Isn't that amazing? How long have you been in this room, and how many real expressions of what can we do and how can we help been expressed? There aren't any magic ways. You're doing what you need to do. Ones say, well, shouldn't we force the journals, the material on out there? Well, no. We're having to answer now. And the reason, one of the reasons that I just have, there are now 170 journals and Al's working on one. And that's all been since basically 1990. I think there were only four, weren't there? I'm not even able to count them. I don't pay any attention. That had to be because we have to treat them, and the reason that I would never allow them to be called books is that they're periodical, dated journals. We write every day. We average at least daily. And through a given year, we will average more than that. And you have a valid, accepted newspaper by the IRS, and you can't beat that now, can you? Of the state of Nevada. For goodness sakes, the tax people consider it a paper. Dorma is a journalist. We write maybe four or five articles for each paper each week. What does it take to qualify? You have to qualify on the basis of what is acceptable in any given time according to the law. And that is the only thing that will protect her and you right now. So going out even and stuffing this stuff down somebody's throat is just not even acceptable. I believe that one of the most important things that you will find that David Hudson will say is that most people won't hear this. Most people will look at you like you're absolutely insane. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to see it. They're not going to want it. It will go to the ones who are getting their call. If you have seen it and you have heard it and it still doesn't make magic in your life, then you've heard your call. We're not trying to advertise magic. And it takes a lot of even considerable time in your perception to allow ones to come and, quite frankly, get out. You will never be free of enemies. You will never be free of seekers. We could close down any visitation and just write. But some of you need to be here. And we're not going to play into that game. Can they literally close the doors? Well, it's a Sunday afternoon. It isn't even church hours. We haven't even interfered with your church time. And as I have said, if you enjoy the social interaction of going to church, go. There is a lot of truth. There is more truth in the synagogue than there is in the Christian church. Because the Jewish lineage wrote the Bibles. They wrote the plan. The Talmudists came along, and the Talmud was written by the elders of Zion. These elder rabbis out of that group of Khazarian lineaged visitors. You've got twin cosmic brothers and sisters. There is another little constellation. It's one of the Adis. Somebody help me. The dark constellation that travels. Hades, yes. Yes, thank you. You can always remember it because we talk about Pleiades, this lighted cluster that basically, if you look past it, you will see it in the rods of your eyes rather than the cone. And you will be able to see it better if you don't look at it. Now, that sounds silly too, but you have two sets of visual light perceptors in your eye. One is the cone, and the other are the rods. So your periphery vision will pick up Pleiades much, much better than looking at it directly because of the light. And right beyond it comes Hyades, which is Hades. Now guess what you're dealing with? Sounds far-fetched? Forget it. That's exactly what you're dealing with. You have the light and the dark. And it's pretty much up to you where you end up. But you're going to end up very nearly in that sector of the cosmos after you leave this place. Most will.
Is that in Sagittarius or what? That's a joke.
Well, it's as good a joke as I've heard. We can stick it in Taurus if you like. Well, I'm through. That's up to the group.
You know this Randolph Winters that got a magazine story here about the Pleiadians from Miami?
Yes.